This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. When we're the offended party in a conflict with someone else, we must model God's forgiveness of us. This leaves us with two difficult options. Can we cover the offense and let things go? Or do we need to confront our offender because of a serious issue? Today, Pastor Ben Lamphere will continue a lesson titled, The Response of the Offended. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
It wasn't a passive blotting. It wasn't a passive throwing into the depths of the sea. It wasn't a passive separating the east is from the west. This is all a very active action from God to forgive us of our sins. That's going to be important to remember how we forgive the offenses of people who sin against us. It will require active, prayerful dependence on the Lord. And so, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, remember Ephesians chapter 32, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. I want to introduce a graph you'll see in just a moment, but I want to introduce the concept of vertical forgiveness, horizontal forgiveness. Forgiveness begins with what we have received vertically from God. Everything we've talked about is the vertical reality, how God has actually forgiven Ben Lamphere of his sins. And because of my forgiveness that I've received from God, I then extend forgiveness to other people. And so here you have on the screen what I'm calling the dynamics of Christian forgiveness. It begins with our vertical forgiveness that we have from God. It impacts our heart. It impacts you. It impacts me. And then this actually transcends out of us and moves to impact the person who offends us. It's clear. Our dependence on vertical forgiveness is so necessary. There's a passage, I think, that will help us clarify this vertical forgiveness and horizontal forgiveness dynamic. And really, it'll speak to what happens if the individual, you and me, are not impacted by God's forgiveness. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. Beginning in verse 21. And this is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Now, let me just pause, put a little note here. Peter thought he was being extremely generous, because the Jewish law really only mandated you forgive three times, three strikes, and you're out. But Peter came to Jesus and said, well, no, seven, you know, that's the number of perfection. I know. I bet it's seven. Is it seven? Certainly seven is enough. That's more than double the three that's required by the Jewish law. That is so gracious, so merciful. No, Peter. What does Christ say? Jesus said to him, I do not say you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. Now, consider just for a moment all that just took place. Here comes this servant who had somehow racked up this astronomical debt. This was a, Jesus is using hyperbole language. This is really, truly impossible to have such a debt. It is so extraordinary what was taking place, how much this individual needed to pay the king back. And what is done is the king truthfully speaks about the sin. There is truth told about the sin. You see this in verse 24. One was brought before him who owed 10,000 talents. There was a massive debt that this man could not pay. And so, what was the very natural response of this man? Let me just pause for a moment. The king does not minimize the sin. Oh, it wasn't your fault. He just tells it like it is. You are in debt. There is a reality that's very uncomfortable, and the truth must be told about the sin. And so what happens? This man, he makes a request for forgiveness. You see this in verse 26. He says, "Have patience with me. Be long-suffering towards me, and I will repay you everything." Not only was he willing to patience, but he was going to pay everything back. He was going to make sure the restitution was paid. He acknowledged this was done in deep emotion. And then what do you see? He identifies, the king identifies with a wrongdoer. He understood the perpetrator's situation. He understood the perpetrator's condition. He understood the perpetrator's vulnerability. He identified with the individual what was taking place. And this is not a natural thing to do. Let's just be honest for a moment. When we have been sinned against, we don't want to identify with the person who has actually sinned against us. It is much more natural to say, this is an offense, and I am going to be the judge and the king over this matter, and you are guilty. Well, the king identified with the wrongdoing, and then what did he do next? The debt against the perpetrator is canceled. He said, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. You know, the cost to move on from this debt that was incurred by this servant was an astronomical bill. And who ate the bill? The king. The king was the one that actually took all the pain, all the difficulty, all the suffering. The one who didn't spend the money, it wasn't the one who incurred the debt, it was the one who actually, it was the king, the offended, who incurred the debt. You know, with money, this seems quite straightforward. Someone racked up a big bill, and now that someone's going to pay for it. But what about if it's not money? This is where it feels a little bit more personal. Because the debt against the perpetrator has to be canceled in some way. And it's going to be paid for by some level of volunteer suffering. You may say, why should the offended be the one who is already suffering, already feel the anguish about what's happening? There is this voluntary suffering now that they actually has to forgive the person who sinned against them. That doesn't make any sense. And then you see the parties are restored. Now remember, this parable, this first half of this parable, is actually about how God treats us. It's this divine forgiveness, the vertical forgiveness that we talk about. This is how God deals with us. Now, what happens? The parable's not finished. There's more to happen, more to tell. Jesus has a point to this parable. He says in verse 28, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then the master summoned and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. So what goes wrong? What goes wrong? How could you be so stupid to beg for mercy from the king, receive the most lavish forgiveness, and then go demand something so small from someone else who is going to repay? He just needed more time. Well, it reveals something about the servant. It reveals that the servant's heart wasn't transformed by the extraordinary forgiveness that he had received. His heart wasn't impacted. The problem was that the man forgot his role. You have a man who was a servant living only by the mercy of a king, but he was acting as if he was the king and the judge. You know, it is possible to be forgiven so much by God. You come on Sunday mornings and praise his great name, but yet when others offend you or sin against you, you show no mercy. This happens because we forget the great debt that Jesus paid for you and me. How our sins have been separated from the east is from the west. How actually, if all things were fair, you and I, we would be hell-bound. But Jesus forgave us. And so we can never forget the vertical forgiveness dimension of this reality. It is abundantly clear. And so what was the point that Jesus was trying to make? Jesus was trying to make this point. He says in verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The point that Jesus is making is if you refuse to forgive, it's calling into question the deep reality if you truly understand the forgiveness that you have received from God. Here's the question that Christ wants us to drive us to. What actually drives a forgiven person to forgive others? The heart must be changed by divine forgiveness. And this forgiveness always starts internally, and it's always driven by the gospel. And when you see, and when I see the reality of who we are without Christ, we realize I have been forgiven so very much. So you know, when we begin to move toward the horizontal relationships, vertical relationships, pretty clear. It's clear cut. We understand that God's forgiven us. This is our reality. It's clear cut. But do you know what? When we move those horizontal relationships, it gets very messy. It gets very nuanced. It gets very complex. So let's ask a few questions to help us, I hope. What do I do if someone sins against me? What do I do if someone sins against me? I'm going backwards. There we go. Well, you really have two options to consider, biblically speaking. There's two options. You cover the sin with love, or you confront the sin in love. You cover the sin with love, or you confront the individual in love. Let's look at both of them briefly. First of all, you cover the sin with love. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin." Proverbs 19:11. Pastor Peter mentioned this verse last week. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook an offense. We do not need to seek forgiveness for every offense, every zinger, every irritation that we have. Mature Christians should have thick skinned because they remember some realities that are foundational to their walk with Christ. They remember the gospel and what sins have been forgiven. They remember times when they have done the same thing to other people. And they remember in times past when offense occurred, it was later revealed that the person had a lot on their mind or a lot on their heart, or they were in a difficult situation. You see, when we remember the gospel and then think about the individual in love and consider they might be going through a hard time, they might have some difficulties. You know, I've actually offended people too for things of this nature, and I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. This is how God wants us to cover sin. You know, my wife has described the need for Christians to be like shock absorbers on a car. You know, imagine you're driving down a road, and imagine if you don't have shocks in your car. You're gonna feel every single bump. You're gonna feel every single vibration in the car, and it would be extremely uncomfortable. And imagine if in your relationships you were to share every single offense, every single frustration, every single little zinger or irritation, it is going to be uncomfortable to be around you. And so we do this work of covering sin. We do the work of covering offenses. Now, once again, this is not a passive process. This actually takes hard work. To actually sit down, prayerfully consider how God's forgiven you, how you can love the other individual in your life, and you come to the conclusion that you're going to cover this sin. You're not going to bring it up anymore. You're choosing to put it behind your back. So that is the option of cover the sin with love. Or the other option is this. Here's a great little graph I made. Here we go. Internal forgiveness. We're going to get to that Mark 11 passage in just a moment. You've got the horizontal forgiveness. You've got the offender over there. And then in between, you have this choice, cover or confront. So here we go to confront in love. You confront the individual in love. Now, why would you confront? I think that's a good question to ask. Because truly, confronting sounds terrible. I mean, I don't know very many people that like confronting. If you do, I guess it's your spiritual gift. I don't know. But it really is terrible to do. But why should we as believers consider at times to confront? Because the ultimate purpose of forgiveness is restoration of community. So there's a community that's broken, there's a relationship that's broken, and you say, I need to confront so that this relationship can be restored. This relationship can be restored. So as a brother and sister in Christ, you may have concerns about the unity in the body and love that we show to actually unbelievers. You know, imagine two Christians that are fighting and unbelievers see that fighting and they say, what's the difference between them? The gospel witness actually requires us to confront one another so that we can move together in peace, in harmony, in unity, not so that we can pragmatically have a better life, but so that the world will see that the gospel truly changes us as individuals. So, I'm not going to get into all of these. Oh, actually, I didn't even put up here. But I put them on your handout, I believe. When should you confront someone? And I've placed, there's seven of these. These came out of a book. But I think they're very helpful as litmus test realities of when should we confront someone. I'll read them. When the person is trapped in a sin or a pattern of sin or in danger of such. You can read all the verses that are followed with these some other time. When the person may welcome such an exhortation. Maybe the person says, hey, if you see something in my life, I would love for you to point it out. When the offense is especially serious as suggested by the Bible's sin lists. When your relationship with someone is severely strained or undermined. When the person is hurting himself or jeopardizing his Christian testimony or ministry usefulness. When others are harmed by the person's sin. And when the reputation of God, Christ, or his church, or the health or unity of the church is threatened, injured, or disrupted. And so there are occasions when we should say, I need to confront this brother. It is for the sake of the gospel. It is for the sake of the unity inside the church or my relationships. Now, a lot could be said about how to confront. We're not going to get into that. I could give you resources for that, but we don't have the time for that tonight. So now, some of you may be thinking, well, what if they don't apologize? You know, does God command me to forgive that person who sinned against me, even if they don't repent? Should we forgive unrepentant offenders? Maybe I confront them and they refuse to apologize. What do I do? Well, I want to speak about forgiveness that happens on two levels. Forgiveness happens on two levels. And the first level is called attitudinal or heart forgiveness. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. I'm going to begin in verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And so there is this emphasis, this personal nature of the reality you are communing with God, you are talking about this vertical relationship that you have with God, and you're coming before the Lord and you're asking him to forgive you. It's the disposition of forgiveness towards another offender. And maybe they've done something against you and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your strength to forgive this individual. And Lord, I need your help in this. And you consider the gospel and you consider verses. And by God's grace in your life, God's work in the life, you actually free the individual of the offense. You release, and what this does is so significant personally, it releases bitterness from the heart that produces anger, seeks justice, and demands the offender to pay. Holding on to offenses can destroy your life.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. We'll conclude this lesson next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Pastor Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, join us for a morning worship service every Sunday at 9 or 1045 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. Billieux. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.